Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hola. No, I'm kidding. You miss me?
Yeah.
We haven't talked in like three weeks.
No, we literally recorded an episode before last week's episode together.
No, wasn't that my solo one? Was it not? I'm stupid. I'm dumb.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Long time no see. That's the last. Only been like a week.
Yeah.
I didn't record because I was very stressed out about a certain storm that was hitting Florida. You guys might have seen it all over the social medias. Mr. Hurricane. Damn, what the hell was the name? I literally forgot.
Ian.
Stupid ass Ian. When it got announced, it was funny. I was in an Uber talking to one of my friends because she saw my tattoo and it says this storm will pass, and that's based off of there was a hurricane that hit Florida in 2018 that really messed up my house, and I've been like forever traumatized from it. And I got a tattoo in remembrance, not remembrance, but in like solidarity of my roof getting fixed. And after I told her about it, literally that same night was when Hurricane Ian was announced. So I was like, man, that's what I get for literally talking about anything. So when the hurricane got announced, I was like psychoanalyzing the track of the freaking hurricane for the next 4 days.
You were stressed.
Yeah, that stuff stressed me out, bro. It's like I hate storms.
No, I
hate
storms. Of course. I mean, so that much. Storm in general is just really crazy. The trajectory.
It's not even the rainfall. It's just wind, bro. I hate strong wind. Like strong wind makes me fucking go crazy. So like at first the hurricane wasn't supposed to go to Orlando, and then like every day, like every hour, it would just like track closer and closer and closer and closer to Orlando. Mm-hmm. And then literally like the final track, it went right through Orlando, and I was like, wow, literally exactly what I didn't want to happen. But whatever. Orlando didn't get hit too bad. My house didn't get messed up or anything. I feel really bad for the coastline. They got rocked.
So
if any of y'all in like Fort Myers, Naples, like I have friends who like their families are in Naples. Thank God all of them are good. Like I talked to them, but man, that shit is scary. I hate hurricanes so much.
Yeah. I mean that inspired
anyways,
this episode, right?
Exactly. That's why I wanted to talk about what we're gonna talk about today. Because what we're gonna talk about today is why you didn't talk, or not you, why you didn't hear from me last week. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what are we talking about today, buddy?
Hold on. We didn't do our intro.
Oh, yeah. First of all, what are we?
You didn't even do the intro last week.
I forgot. I forgot.
Silly goose.
We just got into it.
Silly goose. Anyways, welcome back to our beautiful podcast.
He forgot.
Podcast. It's about fish.
Welcome back to our podcast.
Welcome back to our podcast, Difficultish. It's about South Asian narratives, and my name is Mashinin.
Right. And I'm Hua.
And today, we're revisiting one of the earliest topics that we did in the formation of this podcast. It was episode 3. I did not want to talk about it so soon, but this girl did. I remember, like, I was like, no, let's leave that for later. And you're like, no, we got to talk about it right now. And we did it super early.
But it was a good episode.
I literally don't remember. Don't go listen to it. we were children back then. We're grown adults now.
last year.
and we're gonna talk about anxiety. I want to talk about it because I've been feeling pretty anxious over the last week or two, I'm not gonna lie. But just wanted to talk about like what our experiences have been with it. You know, like how we've viewed anxiety our whole lives, like at different points in our life. Back when we were kids and like didn't even know what it was, to like now we have like a pretty good understanding of like what makes us anxious, why it makes us anxious, and you know what we do to make ourselves feel better about it, you know?
Also, on top of that, why it's so hard to talk about anything mental health related, anxiety, depression, with your parents or family members, and kind of like why it's so taboo. So we want to, you know, share why it's kind of been just inside of us instead of something that we share usually with family members. But yeah, we got a few things to say about this topic. And Mashun, you know, he went through it recently, so he has some direct insight.
Yeah, you know, like, I was hanging out with one of my friends, and he just asked me out of nowhere. He was like, "Do you ever get anxious?" And I was like, "Man, that's such a, like, it's so funny that you're asking me that." Because that's literally how I've been feeling for, like, the last few, not few, maybe, like, the last week I've been here. If you guys didn't know, I'm in Colombia right now. I've been in Colombia for three to three and a half weeks now, and I'm here for another week. And before I came here, I had a whole list of things that I wanted to accomplish while I was here, both like physically and mentally. And I've gotten through a lot of them, and I've been doing a lot of what I've been wanting to do. But one thing that I really didn't account for, that I was like, man, that's not gonna happen to me, is just the fact that, like, you know, being somewhere so different, and you're about to experience this, like, being somewhere so drastically different, like, you just really start to miss, like, actual life, like, actual reality. And it's just been making me really nervous, because, like, I've been over here and I've been, like, my own space, and it kind of forces me to just think. So I've been doing a lot of thinking, and thinking makes me feel super anxious. And I don't know, there are just nights where I'm like, man, I just want to be back in Orlando and, like, my little neighborhood, my little basketball court right now.
But that's a good thing, you know? I feel like when you do have to think, and it forces you to get out of your comfort zone, and it forces you to do things that aren't your regular routine, it's scary and it's uncomfortable and it brings you anxiety. But also, I think those things help you grow. So even though you are feeling homesick and you want to go back to your, you know, your normal life, these 3 weeks were very transformational for you, you know, and you had a lot of fun. So I think for anyone, like, anyone experiencing anxiety, obviously, sometimes, and for most part, honestly, it's not a good thing. Like, it's not a good feeling. But sometimes that anxiety is necessary for you to grow and for you to, like, experience some sort of change in your life that's positive.
I agree with you, but I think one thing that I've just been reminded in my time here, which, you know, it helps me empathize a lot with my mom, is just the fact that, like, you know, sometimes it's really, really, really hard to just like reconfigure the way that your mind has operated its whole life. You know, like, my whole life, I, like, didn't believe in anxiety. I didn't think it was a real thing. I didn't think that ever happened to me. And that's literally how I thought my whole life. But nowadays, when I feel it a lot more, it's hard to condition myself to actually believe that it's anxiety and not something that I'm just making up, because my whole life I made it up, at least in my head. You know, so it's like, I'll be here and I'll be like, man, like, you gotta stop feeling like this. Like, it's not that serious, like, blah, blah, blah. But, like, that's not the right way to get over these things. Like, you have to treat them seriously,
you know, to
move past it.
Something that's so interesting that I just remembered right now, and it just shows how much growth both me and you have had. I remember when Mashun and I first started talking in, like, 2020, at the start of the pandemic, one of the questions that you asked me was something like, have you ever had an anxiety attack, or have you ever had, like, really anxious feelings, or something like that. And I remember I responded in a way where it was like, oh, I don't think I've ever had an anxiety attack. I don't think I've ever been, like, super anxious, because I don't want to take away from the people that have had that, and it's much more serious. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to discredit those people by saying mine is just, like, so horrible, you know? And I remember me and you had that conversation very early on, and we kind of were saying, you know, even if we did feel, like, some sort of sadness, or even if we did feel some sort of, like, nervousness or anxiety, we don't want to characterize it or define it as depression or anxiety or this and that, because we don't want to take away from the people that are starving or the people that are actually going through it. And I think that was us just being very naive, and also, you know, being more we were aware of other people's feelings that were heavier than ours. But I think now, as time has passed, you know, 2 years plus have passed, I think both of us have come to a point where it's like, we understand that other people have it worse. We understand that maybe we're not like the cold cut definition of this and that, but it's still possible to have it in some forms, right? It doesn't mean that like us like saying that we have it doesn't mean that other people can have it, you know what I mean? So I think that's like a lot of growth on our end.
I think you've done a much better job of understanding that than I have. I think I still struggle with believing that I'm actually going through something nowadays, still a lot. I think for like a little bit I was leaning towards, you know, like understanding it better, but I don't know, I feel like I've been like not reversing, but I don't know, I'm just like kind of in a weird spot where you know, like you said, like I look at other people, especially coming to somewhere like Colombia, where like, bro, like people here work their ass off for like the money that I make in like a couple like hours, like they make mm-hmm. in freaking weeks, and like it's like
it shows your privilege.
Exactly. And so it's like I come to places like this and I'm like, man, like my life is so like great, bro. Like I went to a place yesterday with some of my friends, and I got like a sparkling water from the bar, and it costs 13,000 pesos, which is like $3. But that like 13,000 pesos for a sparkling water is like 10 times as much as what it actually cost, because we're in like a nice place. And it's like none of my friends wanted to buy like any drink because like they're like, nah, like that's too much, bro. It's $2.50, $3 for sparkling mm-hmm. water. They're here crying about, not crying, but they're like, yeah, we're not gonna get anything, it's too expensive. And it's like, that's little shit, but it's like I'm just like, man, bro, like my life is so blessed, like there's no way that like I get anxiety, there's no way that you know.
Well, there's also like the perspective of, you know, when you're feeling anxious and then people say for you to like pull yourself out of your body and see things from like an outside perspective, like mm-hmm. we are also minuscule in this world, right? Like if we zoomed out, like we're just a tiny speck on this earth, like right. Honestly nothing matters at the end of the day. So yeah, right. Like when you put yourself in perspective to like other people that don't have as much as you, you feel more blessed and you feel like you don't really have anything to complain about. But at the end of the day, that it's also your life, you know, like things are going to be harder for you than other people. Things are going to be bringing you more anxiety than other people. And we always compare ourselves to other people. And it's also good to feel lucky and blessed. But also that narrative just makes you feel like you can't speak about your problems and what you're feeling isn't valid, you know.
I think there's people all across the spectrum when it comes to people recognizing their own like anxiety or mental health issues, because like there's people where they'll recognize it and they'll still work through it. There are people that recognize it and just use it as an excuse to like not do anything. And it's like, yeah, I don't understand the severity, I don't understand blah blah, but at the end of the day, like I think a lot of it does just come down to like willpower and like how strong your mindset is. Because like, you know, there are people who are like scared of ghosts, right? But like even if you take two people who are scared of ghosts, like, and put two of them in like a haunted house, like one of them can train themselves to not be as scared as the other person, you know. It's not like they're both default just gonna be crying the whole time. Like no, like when you're put in an unfortunate circumstance, like it comes down to just your willpower. And I think a lot of brown people have just been trained to ignore it and forget about it and don't think that it's a real thing.
Well, that's like the survival mindset, right? It's like you're forced to be strong and you're forced to kind of ignore all these problems because you know that there are bigger problems that you have to deal with. Like our parents, when they came here, obviously they had anxiety with coming to a new country, getting a new job, learning a whole new language. It's completely different from like what we feel already being born here, but like they had to kind of get over it, you know. So like they don't even have the words to describe how they feel. They don't have a definition for it because they were never even taught to like sit down and think about it. And so yeah. I also saw this video on TikTok recently where this mom, she was an immigrant mom, like a Latina mom or something, and she was kind of talking about how, you know, growing up she was sleeping on the bed. I mean, she was sleeping on the floor. There was like multiple siblings in the house, you know, from like age 5, she had to like cook, clean, like do all these things, chores and stuff. And like she had, you know, the book definition of like a difficult life, right? And now she doesn't understand why her kids now are saying they have depression and they have anxiety, yep, and all these different things, because like she's supposed to have that and she didn't, yep, she wasn't able to say it. But that's also kind of like disregarding the fact that, you know, people now can still have it even if it's from different reasons. And that's how like generational trauma comes out, right? Because it's like you weren't able to accept it when you had it or talk about it when you had it, and now that your kids have it, you kind of shun them out when they try talking about it, and then the kids are going to do the same thing to their kids unless they break it. And it kind, mm-hmm, of just shows that, like, you know, our parents never had that language, so we aren't able to talk about it now because it's kind of like our problems are lesser than. And in their perspective, I get it. Like, obviously our problems aren't as grand as, you know, assimilating and learning a new language and this, mm-hmm, and that. But at the end of the day, you know, our own generation has its own problems of its own. Like, we have, like, people-pleasing problems, and we have anxiety with fitting into, like, a white-dominated culture and other different things like that. And, you know, having the pressure of being the eldest or being whatever it is in the family. So it's like, you know, we have our own set of problems, and it's really hard to bring it up to your parents without feeling like, you know, you're stupid for bringing it up.
You just have to find like the perfect like in between, like the line in the sand where like you have to understand what your parents are saying when they say that they have trouble understanding how you're anxious, but you also have to understand that you have your own problems and you have your own stuff that you're going through. Like, you really have to fully understand both sides. Like, you can't just ignore what your parents would be saying, be like, no, mama, I'm anxious, you don't get about, like, you can't do that. Like, you gotta like really understand both sides. I think it's hard for a lot of young people to talk about this type of stuff with their parents. Of like, obviously it was hard for me, it's hard for you to this day, but you know, I definitely think that like starting early and starting small, you know, I think a lot of people blow up on their parents. Like, we were just talking about this with like your brother, and I've done this in the past. Like, we just blow up because we're just frustrated that they don't get it. Well, it's like, that's the worst way to go about it. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't blow up. Like, you start slow, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. I think in our original episode of anxiety, I think I said something like, talk about anxiety with your parents in a way where they understand it, you know, using, mm-hmm, language that they understand, simplifying it for them, and also using it in a way where, like, they can relate to it. So, like, instead of first, you know, talking about your problems that you've been having or how you've been feeling, kind of say, like, oh, like, you know, did you feel like this when you came to this country? Like, mm-hmm, how did you feel, you know, when your in-laws, like, didn't accept you and they wanted you to act like this, like, blah, blah, blah. So say it in, mm-hmm, a way where it's, like, they went through it, too, and then relate it back to your life. And then they're, like, oh, okay, like, it's not similar, but it also is, you know, the feelings are, yeah, similar.
What's your experience with anxiety been like?
You know, something about anxiety, I feel like I've gotten it a lot more, like, post-undergrad. I didn't really have it too much growing up, or, like, something that I, like, presently knew of. But I started seeing the signs more after graduation. And I think a lot of it came down to, like, me just being very anxious about the future. Mm. You know, like, I, like, talked to my therapist about it, and she said, yeah, honestly, like, no amount of anxiety can fix the future or change the future or change the past. So you might as well just, like, stay in the present. And that's, like, a post-it note that I have on my wall. And I have also, like, when I have anxiety, I cannot sleep. Like, I'm a type of person where it's, like, if I think about it and if it's bothering me, I have to write it down or do whatever the thing is that's bothering me, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I will not be able to sleep. But I also realize that, like, I love journaling. Like, I love writing because, you know, I have my English degree. But I also don't like writing, especially when you have anxiety and you have, like, all the, like, millions and millions of thoughts just racing in your head. The pen cannot move as fast as your head is moving, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, sometimes I'm just, like, it's good to, like, mind dump onto paper, but also it's just so much stuff. You don't know where to start. You don't know how to, like, write that quick. So yeah. I started just, like, typing instead, or like writing, typing like future letters to myself, things like that. And I've even heard that like you can video record or like podcast record, you know, things like that. So it's like you're talking instead of just like trying to formulate like long sentences and stuff.
Yeah. I think, you know, like, I haven't really told you this, but I've been doing like a lot of that. I've been like just talking into like my camcorder.
Yeah, you did tell me that.
I told you I did it once, but I've been doing it like a lot more than once.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, honestly, like, that's really it's really nice.
Yeah.
Kind of a weird place to put a tip, but I think, you know, like, that's a pretty good tip that I would give like a lot of people. Just yeah. record yourself talking. Just talk to yourself, like,
yeah,
and record yourself, you know. Like, I used to do it a lot when I first moved out. I not a lot. I maybe have like 7 or 8 different clips throughout once. The year. No, I did it a couple times, but I remember like last couple days before I moved back home, I was going through them and I was like, man, like, I'm so happy I recorded these, you know.
It's so nice to look back on, right?
Yeah.
And especially like even the future letters that I write to myself. There's a website that I use that I think is called futureme.org.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Futureme.org. Follow or sponsor us. Hit us up.
I keep telling Mashnoon to use it too, where it's essentially you write a letter to yourself and it sends to your email like the next year or 6 months later, whenever you choose. And it's such a nice like gift to open up. And it just also shows you like how much growth you've had, you know? Like, I think a lot of people, especially children of immigrants, they have a lot of anxiety about like, you know, being successful and like helping out their parents. And, you know, they have this whole pressure to just like fulfill their parents' dreams and stuff. And I think when you see your own progress and your own success, it seems very minute and very small in comparison to like how other people view you, because obviously we're going to be our biggest critics. But when you write a letter to yourself and you get it a year later, you're like, oh shit. Like, you know, you see how you were 365 days ago and then you see yourself in the present and you're like, oh shit, things have changed. And even though like I didn't really see it or appreciate it when it was happening, like now I understand like how I'm not the same person really anymore. And it can be very hopeful. So I think that's a very good alternative. I remember me and you both had a lot of anxiety when we both had to move out. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. But that was like, I don't know how to describe it. That was a good and bad type of anxiety. Because, you know, good because, like, we knew that it would be so good for us. We knew that this change is what we needed. But bad because we also felt, like, so guilty. We also did not want to go through with it. And there was just, like, it's just a mix of good and bad anxiety, you know?
Yeah.
Look at us now.
Columbia, you're going. Have you announced where you're going? You want to say?
No, I haven't announced it.
You want to say when you're going?
Oh yeah, I'm going right after this episode comes out.
Oh wait, that's true. Yeah, how long's the flight? Just give that little hint.
Oh wow, the flight's gonna be a little overnight, and a little pit stop in another country for 2 hours.
Oh, you want to say the layover? You want to say the layover country or no?
The layover country is in Germany.
Oh my god, that's so far. I met a German girl last night. She was my friend's friend. She's moving to India and she said that she's gonna go visit Bangladesh for a month. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, I'm in Colombia meeting a German girl going to Bangladesh.
Yeah, you know what's so crazy, how our anxiety has progressed over the past few years. Like, now we have anxiety that we like never had before, but in a good way, right? Like, before, our anxiety was like, oh my god, how am I gonna provide all this money for my parents, blah blah blah. Obviously we still have that anxiety, but it's not as like as scary as it was before. And now our good type of anxiety is like, oh my god, I have so much anxiety for like going to a new country and like living by myself and all this stuff.
It's crazy that blessing. You say that. I think it was yesterday. I like walked out of my apartment. I was walking down the street because I was gonna go. Where the hell was it? I was going to like this new like, not new, but like this plaza, this area I've never been to. And I was like, man, I don't know what's there. I don't know if they like what type of, because I was trying to get food and I need to like get some stuff. And I remember on the walk there, I was feeling so anxious. I was and like I realized like, you know, I feel like this because I'm just really scared because I don't know what this area is going to be like. At the same time, I was like, man, like I am so excited right now because like this is like an opportunity for me to practice my Spanish more, eat food I haven't had before. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I was feeling this way. And it's crazy because like my whole life, whenever I got that feeling, I it was because it was something bad. But it's like nowadays, like, you know, seeing how like excitement can cause that too, just like it helps like my mind kind of manage and maneuver how to go about anxiety, you know.
But I think when a lot of people have anxiety and depression and all these mental health issues, well, not really issues, but you know, mental health stuff, they it's really hard for them to kind of think of the better end of it. A lot of them kind of think of the negative things, and that's what paralyzes them, you know. Especially when I have anxiety, like I'm like paralyzed. And I know you always tell me like, oh, just go for a walk, just like, you know, cool your head or you walk it off. I cannot, like, I'm not thinking about that. Like, I'm not thinking about the good that's coming out of it. So it's very hard to actually like think you're gonna get out of it when it actually happens, you know. Yeah, but sometimes all you need to do is just like, when you're feeling anxious, just like lay in bed. Just like feel the feelings.
Nah,
I can't do that.
I cannot do that. Not for me. That makes me feel worse.
What do you mean? You took so many naps this past week.
What the hell does that have to do with anxiety?
No, you were feeling anxious, so you like slept instead of going out and stuff.
That was because I didn't want to be around people. Like I wasn't capable of having like conversation at that time. You know, it's not because I was sleepy. I just like knew I was like, if I go outside, like I'm gonna be a party pooper.
Yeah.
You know something that makes me really anxious?
What?
It's made me anxious my whole life, but I've put a word to it. Damn, I forgot the word. Hold on.
You forgot the word.
No, I was literally thinking about it. Wow. Hold on. I got it. Self-confrontation.
What the hell is that?
It's literally what I just said.
So what do you want me to do with this information?
Self-confrontation is just like having to like be real with yourself.
Be real.
Yeah. Like I've always been a pretty confrontational person, been pretty real with other people. But when it comes to just being real to myself, that's always been hard for me. One way being checking my grades.
That brought you a lot of anxiety.
Having to actually face the fact that my grades aren't good. Just having to face reality, like self-reality. Like having to look in the mirror and be like, this is my life. This is what is going on. This is how you feel. I have always had so much trouble with that.
Yeah.
Bro, I've told you, like, There'll be semester I didn't check my grade for the whole semester because I knew they weren't good. I knew. Yeah, you remember real well. I knew it wasn't good. There'll be times where I knew I had $5 in my bank account, but I didn't open my bank account because I knew there were $5. If I open my bank account and be like, damn, that's $5.
You got to rip the Band-Aid off.
But I didn't. Being over here, like even we were talking about it yesterday, just the fact that like, one of the things that I wanted to do while I was in Colombia was to just roadblock my life.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
I've been pushing it off because it's self-confrontation and I have to face the reality of where I actually am in my life. Not saying it's good. Like, it's not even like a good or bad thing. I'm not saying like because it's bad. I'm saying because like I just have to be real with myself. And that makes me anxious.
You know, it's interesting because like it makes you anxious. Like anyone anxious to start out this like road mapping, which is essentially like all the things that you have to do, like your like what you need to do to get to where you want to be, right? So like all mm-hmm. of the things you need to do, for example, if you like, we talked about this with Maisha in our last episode about career and networking and productivity, where she basically broke it down and said that if you want to come out with a collection, you have to make a roadmap about what you need to do to come out with that collection. So it's like, for example, you have to make your design, it's research, find manufacturers, all this and that, right? So a lot of people are anxious about their future. So, you know, some people make like 5-year plans, but like realistic, where they write down all of the things they need to do to get to a point, or like, you know, simpler things like end of the year goals or things like that, right? And it brings a lot of anxiety to like think about it and sit down and actually plan this out, because you're like, oh my God, this is so much shit. But mm-hmm. I think it also brings a lot of peace, especially to me sometimes when like I'm so anxious about, you know, such a big future. Like I'm so anxious about what's to come. And like bringing a realistic like plan to my life brings me some more like solace, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's like a good type of anxiety. It's like good and bad, right? I think once you actually start doing it, you're going to feel so much better.
Can you just do it for me?
No.
You want to write the story of my life, please?
No. No.
I don't want to do it.
You're an author.
Yeah.
How have you felt the past week with your anxiety?
I've been pushing it off. Sometimes I'll feel really anxious going out, but I still do it, and it's always worth it. But it's just like the self stuff that I think I'm always gonna have trouble with it. Just like having to look in the mirror and like note my own flaws. Like I can sit down with you right now and tell you everything that I'm bad at, but I can't sit by myself and tell myself everything that I'm bad at. Mm. I don't know if that makes sense. Like maybe somebody else understands like what I'm trying to say, but it's like, it's not that I don't know these things. It's just like, I don't know, man. Like I just kind of get scared to like actually try to make myself believe it.
Yeah.
So I've been feeling all right. I think this trip has made me realize how much I miss my home and my mom and just my routine. Not even like my hour by hour routine, but just like what my life, like what the life I'm used to is. Like over here, like things are just so drastically different. Like life is different. People talk differently. Like I was telling you, like they got no personal space here, bro. Like literally somebody's freaking breathing down my neck. I'm trying to order coffee. I'm standing right next to me. I'm trying to hold my hand. Excuse me, sir. Can I please order my coffee? Man is trying to freaking give me a death stare. Life is just different here, you know, and I've been missing home a lot. I've been missing Nitro cold brew a lot. My mom's food.
We got it.
But I've done a lot of self-reflection here. I've been writing my ass off. My notes app is tired of me. They're going to delete itself off of my phone. I've been having some general thoughts about where I'm gonna take my life after I go home. Like, I haven't done the road mapping yet, but I've been thinking generally. I'm really good at thinking generally.
Yeah,
I'm very good at thinking generally.
You're good at just speaking things and never doing it.
That's not true. I graduated, right?
Yeah, you did.
I graduated, right?
I think a lot of our anxiety also comes from post-grad. Because you're like, oh, shit, this is real life now.
It's crazy because, like, nobody ever prepares you for after school,
right?
It's always just graduate and life will be great. Just graduate and you will figure it out. But it's like after you graduate, that's the hardest part of your life, when like everybody wants to tell you step by step what to do throughout college. Nobody wants to tell you anything step by step after college.
I think my advice is just like, you know, my therapist was right. You cannot change the future. You also cannot change the past. You might as well just live in the present. Because I think about like my 18-year-old self or like my 21-year-old self and, you know, how anxious I was back then and where I am now. I'd like to think, you know, that my younger self is proud of me. But also like back then, like everything ended up working out, you know? So like back then I couldn't have done anything differently. Like everything that I was doing is meant to be done for who I am now, you know?
So you know, like I think about who you were like when I first met you sometimes.
Why do you think about that?
Just for fun, I'll be sitting and be like, damn bro, like we've changed so much. Like we've changed so much. Like especially you. I think you've changed a lot more than I have.
No, I don't think so.
I think so. You were a little doofus running around.
Why do you act like you met me when I was 4? You met me when I was fully 21.
But still, like, 22. I can't, like, I don't know. I'll try to describe it one day, but you've changed a lot. I'm just so proud of you.
Thank you.
You are, like, you are amazing now. You were always amazing, but now you're, like, super amazing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, moving on. As you guys know, we have a podcast, and one of the ways that we promote the podcast is on social media. One of the social media apps is Instagram. If you don't have an Instagram, you can make one on Instagram.com. You can follow us at DifficultDish on Instagram, Instagram.com/DifficultDish. We tell you guys about our upcoming topics.
Right. So the next thing that we want to talk about before he continues speaking is that we also have a TikTok. It's
yeah,
at
TikTok.
DifficultDish Podcast.
I posted a little banger a little bit ago. I'm not gonna lie, it was a little cutie.
He posted one banger in his life and he thinks he did something.
Hey, hey, calm down. The best
but
video
yeah, follow got. Us on those things. And obviously, always on Instagram, we let you guys know what we're about to record and we let you send in your responses. So for this episode, we asked you, what are some things that you do when you feel anxious? You know, what are some signs you have when you are anxious? But specifically, we just kind of wanted to power through some of the things you guys do when you're feeling like this so that we can, you know, give you some info on what you can do when you're feeling like this and just learn ourselves, you know?
Yeah. Gentle reminder, I'm not a scientist. I'm not
No one
therapist.
Said you were. No one said
I am,
you were.
I am a boy.
He was a boy that was in life. Robotics.
He was Did in you guys know I was in robotics club when I was in eighth grade. We won the rookie of the year award at like one of the competitions, and they gave us access to the world championship. Unfortunately, the world championship was literally in St. Louis, Missouri. Like out of all places in the world, we went to St. Louis.
All right. So anyway,
yeah, I was in robotics. I think that's really inspired. Like
we're done talking about this now. All right, so the first one that someone sent in. Telling myself that I've won against 100% of my bad days, so I got this.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think that's a nice little reminder to yourself because you obviously have surpassed all of your bad days, even when you thought that you would not get through it, and you thought that you would never get over a heartbreak or anxiety or depression or whatever it is, but you have.
But you did.
And you did.
And you did.
That's a nice
and you know
little
what?
Reminder.
You know what's the crazy part?
What?
Is that you're going to do it again.
Yep. Put it on a post-it note.
Don't do that.
Put it on a post-it note. Put it on your laptop.
Nobody wants... I got to be honest with you. Like, nobody cares about post-it notes anymore. Like, that's so, like, 2011. You know?
Your book is so 2011.
What do you mean by that?
What did you mean by the post-it note?
Actually, like, I literally don't understand what you said. Like, at least I had, like, a little bit of merit in my comment. Like, what does that mean?
What is that? Journaling helps way more than you think.
Video journaling. Try that out, y'all. I think that's a goodie.
Mushroom's literally like, good luck, Charlie. Having video footage.
No, just like sitting down in front of the camera. Like this is how it goes. Like you'll turn on the camera and you'll be like, all right, I don't really know what to talk about, blah blah, for 30 seconds, and then you'll just like slowly start saying more and more. And then after like the minute 30 mark, then you'll start like actually talking about how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And then that's when it gets like actually very powerful.
I think so,
like,
obviously in the beginning,
I really advise doing it.
In the beginning when you do it, I think you feel silly and stupid, but then
exactly.
You get into it, you know?
Exactly.
It's like a little video therapy. Like whenever I make my YouTube videos every week, I'm just talking to myself.
And like there will be like long pauses. There will be points where like you're like, man, what am I doing? But like when you actually just like really get into it, like honestly, I really recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, like, I don't give a lot of, like, actual tangible advice like that. Because, like, I've always thought that my life has been so, like, specific to a certain type of person. Like, I never really cared about giving advice. But I think that that's something that can help a lot of people.
All right. So, someone said that they feel fear, restlessness, and uneasy when they feel anxious. And so, they just work out and talk to their friends that they trust the most.
You got friends that you trust?
I know, right? I was going to say, you got friends. Y'all got friends. Listen,
I know we've, like, joked about this in the past, but really, this is not a joke. I'm not kidding. We need friends. So if there are any boys, 22, 3, 4, 5, 6, Orlando, Florida, anywhere in Florida, honestly, I don't mind driving. That's a lie. You can come visit me. But, you know, be my friend.
It's actually very rare to find friends that you can just, like, talk to 24/7, talk through your anxiety with. But something that's actually very, very helpful is working out. It releases endorphins. Something that also really helps me with my anxiety is working out. But sometimes I don't have that discipline to actually go to work out. Or even not even working out, just going for a walk, you know? Like, things that actually bring movement. It helps a lot. It helps you clear your mind.
Being in motion.
Yeah. But
why are you giving that freaking death stare? What happened? I said I freaking insulted you.
But I highly recommend if you have that discipline. Someone said medication, it has changed my life. It's almost like a switch. That's important. You know, a lot of immigrant kids and a lot of parents have undiagnosed ADHD, OCD. I know my therapist said that I have hyperactive anxiety or something. High functioning anxiety, my therapist said I have, which means I flourish off of doing 5 million things at the same time. And, you know, that brings me joy, but also anxiety. But a lot of parents think that medication is taboo, especially for anxiety, depression, anything health related, mental health related. But at the end of the day, that can really help you. My friend is on ADHD medication, and it helps her literally live day-to-day life. Like, it has helped her so much, where before, it was, like, debilitating. Like, she could not do anything because her ADHD was taking over her life. She got bad grades in college and high school. And, yeah, medication is so taboo, but I wish, you know, parents especially, and even people our age, honestly, understood the benefits of it.
You know, I've always been very indecisive when it comes to medication, like, not putting my opinions on anybody else, like, obviously do whatever you feel is best for you. But it's just so scary, because just, like, the idea of something, taking something that could alter the way you think so drastically, that just scares me, man. Like, yeah. And how much it can mess with you if you stop taking it, how many side effects it can bring while you're taking it, how many places it can mess you up in, like, other than what it's helping you for. It's scary, man. And obviously we're not knowledgeable enough at all to talk about if it's good or not, but I think I kind of understand, like, why parents might be so against it. It's just scary, bro. Medication, yeah, scary.
I think obviously there are a lot of risks with it, but I think a lot of parents kind of just turn it off completely without trying to hear out the positives as well.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
All right, so someone said, sometimes social media triggers my anxiety a lot. I just put it away somewhere I can't reach it and read a book or talk to my mom instead. Sometimes I will write in my journal about my overwhelming feelings too, just to keep them somewhere. What I feel versus what actually is are two different things. But when I get anxious, the lines get blurred and I can't tell the difference. But writing is so common.
Man, the negative effects of social media is fucking ridiculous.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think I had the privilege of getting over the idea of, like, I have to tell people where I have to show people everything that I'm doing, and I have to see what everybody's doing, and I have to see what they're wearing, and I have to. I think I got over that pretty early in my life, but I know that it's really hard for people to, like, not. What?
The way he's directly talking about me.
No, I'm not. You you make money on social media. Like, it's different. I'm talking about just like the everyday normal person. Like, it's completely different for you. The everyday normal person who just like feels the absolute need to tell people what they're doing, to show people what they're doing, and to know what people are doing. I don't get it, man. Like,
but also, yeah, I've noticed that, like, even though it is part of my job, I do not spend like hours trying to make like the perfect shot and like trying to like put up a story that looks a certain way. And I've seen a lot of other people who also might make money off of it or don't, just like everyday people who are kind of like, they get paralyzed by the fact if it doesn't look a certain way, if it doesn't look, you know, like aesthetic or like this and that. So I think it is very paralyzing for people. And I know a lot of people, especially me, sometimes when I'm anxious, sometimes social media makes me anxious because I'm on it so much, right? But then when I'm anxious, I can't stop. So I continue scrolling. And I think since we have social media and it's so accessible to us, we just use that as like our as our way to cope with things. And also TikTok is like, I've mentioned this in another episode where it's like, you see happy to sad to depressing to mad. Like, you know, you have so many different emotions in the span of just a few seconds. And it's really hard to like, feel your anxiety, feel your feelings separate from your phone and social media, you know, because of that.
Like yesterday, like before I like was hanging out with my friends, like I took a shower and I put like hair product in my hair. And like,
thank you. Thank you for sharing. And,
can I please finish? Continue. Can I please finish? And I just like didn't put enough, right? So like my hair was like pretty loose during the night. So like when I was hanging with my friends, I caught myself like fixing my hair like literally every minute, just like putting it back to place. And then I was like, what the it's just the idea that like everybody else in the world sees me the way that I just psychoanalyze myself when like literally like people do not give a shit if my one follicle of hair here is like sticking.
You know,
up.
So interesting, because I went through the same thing. I told you about this yesterday as well, because I hung out with my friends and they're white and I chose to not wear makeup that day. And, you know, my hair wasn't done. It was like raining, so I didn't look the best. I took off my mask and my whole face was sweating, like full dripping. And like, you know, I felt self-conscious because I didn't look a certain type of way, but also like, who gives a shit? You know, like, who, it's like, it is. It's like all in your head sometimes too, you know?
It's literally, it's so in your head thinking that people are looking that deeply into you. Like, that's very egotistical, first of all. But like, it's just one of the outcomes of social media. And like, you know, like you always trying to present yourself in a certain way.
But yeah, something interesting that they said was that they read a book or talk to their mom instead when they're feeling anxiety. And, you know, I do the same thing. I try reading or doing something to distract myself or calm myself down. But sometimes, like, you know, my thoughts are just racing. I can't do something that's reading because I know I'm not going to be actually concentrating on that reading. So something that helps me is, like, doing something that's productive but also calming. So, like, you know, crocheting or, like, watching a show or, like, something that's, like, you know, I'm able to calm myself down without actually focusing on something entirely. So yeah, that's really important.
You like talking
and something
to me?
Else. Yeah, I like talking to you. Something else that they said that they do is that they talk about, you know, what they feel versus what things actually are. And I think putting things down on paper or even, you know, talking about it in video format, it really helps you kind of distinguish like the two separate things and why you're feeling the way you are. Because sometimes you don't even have an explanation to why you're feeling like that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. One last thing that someone said.
My goodness.
Yeah, people got a lot of things that they do when they're feeling anxious. Meditation, art, dancing, and just nurturing my inner child with cozy, oversized clothes and fuzzy socks helped them.
Yeah, you know that very well.
What's that supposed to be?
Your penguin slippers? My goodness.
My God. They're tired of you. You act like you don't have the same ones. I got you the same exact ones.
I don't freaking rub them into the ground for 12 hours a day. They're tired. Send them back home. My God.
Yeah, guys. I'm like forever, even during the summertime. I'm just in my fuzzy slippers, my fuzzy sweaters. I actually just put them in the laundry. Not my slippers, my
you'll
sweater.
You do that? I'm so hot. Why am I so hot today? It's so hot today.
Yeah, sometimes I give myself anxiety with that, you know. But yeah, those things really help. Nurturing your inner child by painting, that's what I do. that bring you peace, making some.
We should start meditating together.
I know. I really want to. I tried. My therapist told me to wake up and meditate for 5 minutes before touching my phone.
We should get like one of those apps or something. We should try it.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
We'll let you know. You got any 10-second advice?
I've given so much advice.
No. Episode. We can't do this every
all
single episode.
All I ever do in this podcast is give you guys advice. You're welcome, first of all. I advise you. Let me open up the notes real quick.
Come on, not the notes. Your notes app is going to self-destruct.
Listen, these notes over these last few weeks, I could.
It's a treasure in there. It's like Pirates of the Caribbean. The treasure is hidden actually in Mashun's phone.
What? You just say things and you just hope it makes sense. Like, you're just hoping.
The people that know.
Go explore a new part of the city that you live in. I think a lot of people will be like, oh, I've lived here my whole life. I know every... No, there are always places in the place that you live in that you've never been to. It might be a little anxious not knowing what's there, you know?
Might be a little anxious. What a sentence.
But oh well, you know? I advise you to go, because I went to this area in Medellin that I've never been to, and it was beautiful. So many nice buildings, nice light up rooms.
That's all he needed to make him happy. A nice little light up room.
And then my Uber driver on my way back to my apartment, she was a woman. And this is the first woman Uber driver I've had in Colombia. And she asked me to sit in the front. I was like, yeah, sure. I was in the front with you. And she was just talking to me the whole time. She was a sweet old lady. She was like 55, 60. Her car was absolutely terrible. I was literally like, I felt like throwing up with how much it was like jerking. But as long as you don't get an Uber, I still gave her like 5 stars, but as long as you don't get an Uber driver like that, just go somewhere, you know? Right?
I'm so sorry that this is the advice that he had after making us wait for 5 minutes.
Yeah. What you're about to say, go look at the sky. You're about to say something. That's in a freaking child book.
You know, something that I've had to force myself to do since I've gotten a mini sketchbook as of recent is to kind of just like sit down and stare at things physically instead of using my phone and draw it in present time and take in the surroundings instead of like, you know how people like when they're sitting somewhere by themselves, they just like mindlessly scroll on their phone or read or whatever it is. But I think like taking in your surroundings and the things that you pass by every single day, things that are routine to you, it's like pretty art, you know? And it's like, obviously, if you're not an artist, like I'm not telling you to draw everything telling that
us,
you see.
You're advising us to be fine artists and walk around with sketchbooks.
No, I'm saying like sit down in a mundane area that you usually pass by or you don't give a shit about and just like observe it. See how
you
the
know
people
what that
are.
Is? You know what that is?
No.
Is being present. And you know what that is?
What?
A gift.
And you know what that is? Being present means not worrying about the future or worrying about the past.
And you know what happens when you worry about the future or the past?
Anxiety. Mic drop.
For listening. To our wonderful, beautiful podcast, Difficult Dish. Please rate us.
Right.
Give us a rating. Again,
we're close to 500.
We have access to everybody.
No,
that
we
doesn't
don't.
Rate. I have your social security number.
Come on.
And I was exposing. Leave us a rating. Review us.
We're very close
me.
To 500 ratings.
You're more than welcome to follow the Instagram of the podcast, but first follow me. Follow Mo if you want. I don't know. And thank you so much for listening. If you made it this far, I love you. If you made this
what
far,
should they comment on our post?
You gotta comment. I have my coffee cup next to me, and it has a saying that is a pretty popular Colombian saying. It's sin prisa, sin pausa.
You want them to comment that on our post?
You got something better? Are you going to ask me what it means? Well, it means don't rush, but don't stop.
Okay. That's a good one.
So comment, don't rush, but don't stop.
Right. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. We love you guys, and we will see you next Friday.
Yeah, bye.
Allah Hafiz.
Where you will be in...
blank.
Bye.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.